historic weekend, no matter what happens.
Training standards will increase, expectations will increase. I just can't go against Ballyhale.
The Club Championship Show. Subscribe to the GAA podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
Now, you're very welcome back. So we are turning to the story of Camilla Valieva, which I'm sure you've seen in some shape or form over the last number of days. Camilla Valieva is 15 years old. She is a Russian figure skater. She's competing at the Winter Olympics at the moment in Beijing. She's a very good Russian figure skater. She already has one gold medal at these games. She was part of the team event. She played a starring role. And then tomorrow in the free skate, she is expected to have a very good chance of wrapping up an individual gold, her second of the games. So far, so good. The only problem being a sample that she gave in December, it turns out contained a banned substance. Now, she has been allowed to compete all the same. This case is still ongoing. There was a real delay from December to now. And it has been touch and go, or certainly it had been touch and go, as to whether or not she could compete. And she was given the go-ahead to compete. Regarding the gold medal she won and the possible gold medal she might win tomorrow, there will be no medal ceremonies for those gold medals. And she was in tears after she skated yesterday. Naturally, her competitors aren't best pleased. It seems like a bizarre situation. So to make sense of it, very happy to bring in Tariq Panja of the New York Times. Tariq, great to have you on.
Good to be with you guys. I'm not sure I'll be able to make sense of something that seems completely mind-boggling, even when you go through all of this.
I mean, it is extraordinary. And you forget, you have to remind yourself, there's a 15-year-old here at the centre of this, regardless as to how these drugs got in her system, which we will discuss in a moment. But certainly watching her yesterday and the tears afterwards, this is just all kinds of wrong, and where we've all lost our perspective on sport, where a 15-year-old does have these substances in her system to compete.
Yeah, and I think that's the fundamental point. The duty of care from the Russian Ice Figure Skating Federation, from the Russian Olympic Committee, and then I think from the IOC. I think what this case has raised, just seeing this poor girl in tears, is the question of how young is too young. You mentioned she's 15, and we had teenagers even younger performing at the Summer Olympics, winning gold medals in Tokyo in the skateboarding, for example. And I don't know, that sort of spotlight, that sort of pressure on people so young, even adults would struggle with the scrutiny that comes with being the center of the world, the biggest story in the world. And now we're talking about a 15-year-old. It is horrifying. And I think, you know, for parents out there, they'll be, you know, thinking, never this, never for my child.
Let's try and establish the facts first of all, and then we can try and skirt around how these substances, and I use the word the plural there, ended up in her system. So in December, she tested positive for trimetazidine, which can boost endurance, and it's an angina drug. It's banned. Now, what has emerged, and you reported this in the New York Times, is the sample tested also, as well as that banned substance, trimetazidine, also had hyproxen and L-carnitine, which are not banned, which are not...
In fact, that was on her own list. She yes. volunteered those.
Yes.
To be clear.
So, yeah. So those three substances are in her system. Now, there is the banned drug, and then there are these other two drugs. I mean, look, even for those of us who follow this in so much as we can, I saw L-carnitine and, you know, I thought straight back to Alberto Salazar's giddy emails to Lance Armstrong. You won't believe what this does. You know, Lance, wait, you got to see. And he was infusing athletes allegedly with great quantities of L-carnitine and getting great results. So, yeah. You know, that there's taking granddad's heart medication accidentally, which is the claim around the banned substance, mm-hmm. trimetazidine. But I thought that Travis Tigert summed this up quite well in the last couple of days, where he said, there's a lot of red flags here. We're talking about three substances, and they all just happen to increase performance and increase endurance and reduce fatigue. So a lot of red flags here.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, to go back to the original point, this is a 15-year-old as well, someone who is in great health, an elite athlete, that by far and away the top skater in her group. For example, she had her worst performance, in fact, of the season. She fell and was still in the lead after the first event of the female figure skating competition. And we're talking about this combination of nutrients and drugs in her system too are allowed, but taken together, it looks like a purposeful, a planned cocktail, as it were. And it wouldn't be her. This is the thing. She's the kind of vessel for this, the vessel for Russian success as well. There is an operation behind this athlete. There is the coach and a larger entourage behind it. And, you know, the mind then drifts to who else is tainted in such a way? Who else has had such treatment?
Yeah. So, as you said, she listed the L-carnitine and the hyproxen, which are legal. And her mother at the hearing said that she had heart variations, is the word which has generally been quoted. So she had heart variations, and so she needed this medication, is their claim for those two substances. As for the banned substance, their claim there is that she accidentally somehow took her grandfather's heart medication. That's their story on this one.
Yes, this was interesting as well. Her grandfather, who is essentially her driver and babysitter while her mother is at work. So he drives her to training every day, brings her home, and then drives her apparently to a second session, and then brings her home and waits with her. He apparently takes this this heart medication, TMZ, and they're saying, well, she might have drunk from the same cup as him. But there was no, as yet, any concrete proof that he does have a heart problem. What we've seen and what evidence has been provided, it appears to be this, that he had perhaps a heart transplant, and he carries these drugs with him. And whenever he has what they described as an attack, he takes them. He didn't take part in the hearing on February the 8th or 9th in Russia. Instead, he provided a video that appears to be shot in a car, according to the documents, in which he confirms this information and then shows off a packet of drugs to the camera. So there isn't a prescription, there isn't a doctor's note or anything at that point. And that is all we know about this grandfather and his medical condition.
Mm. I can't disprove her claim, but let's be honest, in the eyes of most people, not least considering the country she's representing, the explanation stretches credulity in a massive way. So that is where we are, and I think that's the general consensus looking on. For instance, the US Olympic and Paralympic Committee President Sarah Hirschland described this situation as another chapter in the systemic and pervasive disregard for clean sport by Russia. So there are raised eyebrows, to say the least, all over the place here. The next big question, I suppose, is why, given that this sample was taken in December, is this athlete now competing in the Winter Olympics in February? Why the delay? I mean, who took the sample? Why was it? You know, not front page news amongst the skating fraternity straight away.
Yes. So you have to go back a little bit. You know, the Russia scandal has been dragging on so long. You know, for some of us who've been covering it from the beginning, you know, I've been doing this job about 15 years, and now at least a quarter of it has been bogged down, if not more, with this Russian doping scandal. It is just endless. So to go back, the Russian laboratory in Moscow was at the center of this massive doping scandal that was unearthed after the Sochi Games in 2014. And it lost its sort of so-called accredited status from the World Anti-Doping Authority, meaning that it cannot conduct tests, it's no longer authorized. But then RUSADA, the Russian Anti-Doping Authority, the national anti-doping authority there, was then reinstated to carry out testing, but it then needed to find a test provider, so an accredited laboratory. It shopped around and it found this place in Stockholm, a very revered hospital, actually, in Stockholm, and it has a deal for this laboratory in Stockholm to conduct the tests. Now, what I learned is the International Testing Authority, this independent agency that is responsible for tests at the Olympics and gets this power over the Olympics a few weeks before, had put Valieva, among a bunch of Russian athletes, on their target list for testing. Of course, Russia is not appearing as Russia at the Games because it's still banned, meaning there's greater scrutiny on Russian athletes. So this test did take place on the 25th of December, Christmas Day, in the Russian Championships on the order of the ITA, the recommendation of the ITA. It then took a number of days, I understand, to go to Stockholm. And then it just sort of seemed to sit there. And what there seems to be correspondence from the Stockholm laboratory blaming the coronavirus, absence of staff, et cetera, et cetera. However, talking to other national anti-doping bodies, sports federations, what normally happens is the RUSADA, the Russian Anti-Doping Authority, would be saying, guys, the time is ticking. We've named this athlete to our team. She's due to perform. Can you expedite this case? What the Stockholm lab would not have had is her name. They'd have a bunch, because it's anonymized, they'd have a bunch of numbers and they'll do the test. So the Russians would have to say, number 472 or whatever, please, can you expedite that? We need that immediately because we're sending this athlete to Beijing tomorrow. That did not happen. And that is, a massive red flag in itself. And it's a massive oversight. Someone's either dropped the ball through error or on purpose. And I think that's all to come out. And also, it really sticks in the craw because WADA, the World Anti-Doping Authority, has allowed Russia to return to the Olympics and international sport, said that there will be greater scrutiny and these tests will be carried out. You've got to wonder what they were up to. Why did they not check to see if everyone had been tested as they should be?
Yeah. So as to whether or not she should be competing this week, she does have protected status, specifically because she is a minor, which is part of this story as well. So here's Matthew Rhee, but just want to play this clip, Director General of the Court of Arbitration for Sport, who have decided to allow Kamila Valieva to compete at the Olympic Games. So this was his explanation as to why.
The panel considered fundamental principles of fairness, irreparable harm, and the relative balance of interest as between the applicants and the athlete who did not test positive during the Olympic Games in Beijing, but is still subject to a disciplinary procedure on the merits following her positive anti-doping test undergone in December 2021. In particular, the panel considered that preventing the athlete to compete at the Olympic Games would cause her irreparable harm in these circumstances.
Could you expand on irreparable harm there? What are they talking about?
Irreparable harm in the sense, if she is the age she is, so 16. So according to the rules, minors get treated, can be treated leniently. So she could, if this had followed its natural path in a timely manner, have been issued with a reprimand and not a ban. Mm. Equally, she might be able to fight the ban. And one of the other reasons is not only her age. The fact is that this sample came back on the 7th, the day she performed at the Olympics, and she wouldn't have had any time to challenge the positive. So the irreparable harm is this, that this once in a generation star, this young athlete, would not get the opportunity, perhaps the only opportunity in her life, who knows, to appear at the biggest stage, which is the Olympics. And the others, the ones that who could argue, look, we've been cheated of our moment on the podium, because eventually maybe this wonder kid is going to have her medal taken away. Well, the IOC is saying, well, they get to compete. It's not great, but they will eventually get the medals. The only thing they don't get is that podium moment. So it's kind of on the balance of awfulness, if you want. It would be horrific if this young child who may be innocent doesn't get to skate. And it's less awful if these people eventually get their medals afterwards. But the thing that I found pretty strange is this. Once the provisional suspension is lifted on Valieva, she has every right to be at the Olympics because she's not banned. The IOC is trying to do two things. It's trying to thread the needle, and I don't think that's fair. Either she's in or she's out, for me. If she's in, you have the medal ceremony because that's you've said she's okay to be at the Olympics.
Yeah.
What we've got here is a halfway house, which is not fair on her or the other athletes. It also draws, you know, the ire and the scrutiny of her colleagues in the athletes' village and all those competitors.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. I mean, the non-medal ceremony is just a farce. Like, it's a laughingstock, really. It's an embarrassment. And, like, for the clean athletes, what about the irreparable harm there? And I appreciate that we're talking about a 15-year-old and we don't fully know what's happened here. So there is the potential that everything she's saying is true and she inadvertently happened to take her grandfather's medication by mistake. There is secondly the possibility that she was being given medication and she was unaware she was breaking the rules. And thirdly, at 15, Tariq, I think we were both in the know on lots of things. We knew right from wrong. We knew doping from not doping. Maybe she knew what she was doing and she was okay to take that chance. Those three possibilities are very much on the table here. The question, what I don't understand is that athletes have responsibility for what they put in their body. So doping, inadvertent or not, she should have some kind of ban slapped on her straight away. I mean, it could be 4 years if you're doing it very much on purpose and repeat offender. But I mean, it can be 2 years if you do it inadvertently or something in that region. Yeah. So I actually can't maybe you can simplify this for me. Did the test happened in Stockholm? The Russians playing Stockholm to do the tests. Their star pupil has a positive. They delay this whole thing as long as possible. Therefore, she gets into the Olympics on a kind of technicality. And sure, like, what do we care? Our reputation's in the toilet anyway. So hopefully she makes off with goals and we laugh in everyone's faces. Like, what's actually happening here in kind of layman's terms?
In layman's terms, again, you can't. The rules are haven't been drafted properly, you know, and that's the boring line here.
Yeah.
Because what this you know risks is, you know, an arms race to potentially dope 15-year-old children. If they fall in this grey area where they aren't going to be banned or subject to a ban, but only a reprimand because they don't have the agency at that age to knowingly take any substances. If that's what these Court of Arbitration for Sport decides, or if that's what WADA decides, then, you know, we're entering a very curious and worrying area, right? Because,
and
you know,
is that ultimately what's allowing her compete here? This big grey area, the reason this thing hasn't been shut down straight away is simply because of her
almost
age.
Almost certainly.
Okay.
But isn't that ludicrous?
Because if, you know, that whole saying, if you're old enough, you're good enough and all that kind of business. If she is competing against adults, then she should no longer be considered a minor when it comes to her performance.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the rule as it is today. And it gets back to the start of this conversation we had, which is this. Should there be a you know, a minimum age for the Olympics? And you know, what should that be? And once you work that out, then the rules should apply, the anti-doping rules should apply across the board. Otherwise, you have this kind of fenced off area that is now a cause for concern. The other point I've been learning, like everyone else, through this period. And the one thing that strikes me is that the whole anti-doping system is one that really relies on trust. That national anti-doping agencies are going to do the right thing, because WADA, the global, it basically empowers them to do all the testing and the results management. Now, we've seen, whether Thomas Bach, the IOC president, likes it or not, the Olympics is now, you know, a theatre, and always, for me, always has been a theatre for geopolitics. These medals mean a lot more to certain countries. The grandstanding means a bit more sometimes. Now, if you are talking about some of these countries, let's not forget where this Olympics is as well, for example. If you're trying to claim, you know, the high ground on the with the medals tally, and you're trying to show off to your domestic population, do you want to pop your top stars for doping? And I think there is a lot of pressure on some of these national anti-doping authorities to to turn a blind eye. I think we need to look at the entire system from top to bottom again, because for me, there is a system failure here or a risk of corruption. And Russia, over the years, always them, seem to have taken advantage of it.
Yeah. And look, I think that is the bottom line here. We are talking about a 15-year-old. I think most of us see her as a victim in this primarily, regardless of her knowledge of what's been going on. And that she has these substances in her system, and who knows what else is going on here behind the scenes. It's absolutely frightening, and it's disgusting, and it's a dreadful look for the sport. And you can only imagine the pressure she's under. Do you have any sense as to how she's holding up finally?
Well, not very well from here. I unfortunately didn't get to Beijing, but you know, looking at the reporting from some of my colleagues, looking at the video, you know, you've seen this girl in tears more than once. You've had the spectacle, and again, I'm not gonna criticize the journalists here because they're doing their job. Of you know, like grown men on the media side, you know, screaming at this child to ask if she's a drugs cheat.
Right.
That is just awful. Whichever way you slice it. The thing is, someone has put her in that crucible. Someone has put her in that environment that she should not be in.
No, it is shocking. And then, meanwhile, there are clean athletes looking on as well, and this is their big moment as well. So it's a terrible situation. Tariq Panja, great to have you on. Thank you so much for the time of the New York Times. Thanks, Tariq.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.